It's all good. Hey. And Jesus said, hey, check it out. Real quick, before we get started, Revo, listen. Make every effort to go to Revo. We have lowered the cost from almost $200 to $145. Now, that is everything included. We're trying to get even your Busch Gardens in that joker. But you want to be at Revo this year. We're changing it up. We're doing some new things in it. It's going to be incredible. God's going to move. Anthony Shepherd's going to lead worship. He's also going to be teaching a chapel class during the day. So, listen, you want to be at Revo. All right, bring your friends. There's also going to be an iPad giveaway. So if you want an iPad, you go to Revo. We're going to be taking some little, there might be some other prize giveaways too. What? Maybe like a pass to Busch Gardens. Oh, shut your mouth. So we're trying to bribe you to go. So just to let you know, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure you're there. Anyway, check it out. Hey, Mike, do you know if this is recording? Hallelujah. Good job. Thank you. Tonight is the Beyond Scared Straight series. This is part three of the Beyond Scared Straight. It is called Desperation for Freedom. Man, I believe God's going to do something amazing tonight. I really do in my heart. I need you all to give me your undivided attention for the next 30 minutes. Okay, I got a voicemail. Awesome. For the next 30 minutes, I need you guys to give me as much attention as you can, pretty much everything, or I will throw a mic. Amen. I will hit you dead in the face with it. I am deadly accurate with a mic. Anyway, Acts 16:16-24. Let me read it to you. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. She was kind of like this witch, all right, that would fortune tell, like a psychic type person. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation, and this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, I love that word. I love that the fact that Paul got annoyed. I love it. It says, Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. So basically, this chick was walking around. She had the spirit of divination in her, this like witchcraft spirit within her. Paul turned around because she kept kind of mocking them. He turned around, was like, I rebuke you, because he got annoyed. And see, she made money for the people out there. She made money for some of the people, the masters, her masters. That's how they made money. So they got upset, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us. So basically, they went, they told on them, and then they decided to throw them in the prison. Here's what happened. They threw them in an inner prison. They beat them with rods. They laid many stripes on them, and then they put them into that prison. They shackled their feet. It says, but at midnight, man, we're going to talk about that, just those three words in a few minutes. Oh, my gosh, I cannot wait. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself because he realized that if they would have escaped the prison after they were worshiping and the walls shook and the foundation came down, he realized he was going to get killed anyway, so he wanted to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called out for a light, ran and fell down trembling for Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Basically, he got saved at that point. Now, it says, they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and he got saved. Immediately, he and his family were baptized. And then when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let those men go. So these magistrates who put him in jail went and said, you know what, let these men go. But here's what Paul said. I love it. So the keeper of the prison reported these walls to Paul. The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, go in peace. Basically, you're free to go. They said that you can go. Paul said to them, they've beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they put us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came, the magistrates came, and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. Now here you got Paul and Silas, and they're out there walking. They've got this woman who's kind of going crazy with a demon in her. They rebuke the demon. Demon goes. Magistrates come in, go beat them, and then they were in prison. After they were beaten and thrown in prison, they had shackles on, and they began to worship. And then it said at midnight, suddenly the walls began to shake, and the foundations of the prison began to shake, and the walls came down. Now, instead of leaving, because a lot of times we hear this, when we hear about Paul and Silas worshiping, we always hear that they came out of the prison because of their worship. Here's what happened. They didn't leave when the prison walls were down. They waited until the people that put them into the prison came to them face to face and said, come. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but that's really the base of the story. Anyway, first and foremost, you have to understand this. They were walking around just doing their call, just walking around doing their thing. And this woman who was possessed was taunting them and making fun of them. And all Paul did was rebuke the demon. The demon left. She was cleansed at that point. But they put them in prison and beat them and chained them. Now, they were in there unfairly. Now, the reason I say that is this. The reason I wanted to say that for a second is this. Is because some of you in this place tonight, you are going through a situation in your life and you feel that it is unfair. Maybe you've said it. Maybe you've said, it is unfair that my parents are getting a divorce and my friend's parents aren't. It is unfair that this person's sick or this person's sick. It is unfair that this person has died. It is unfair that this person has a disease. It is unfair. And maybe you think that maybe that is your mentality. Because of the situation, the hell that you might be going through in your life, and you have this unfair mentality. You know that it's unfair. Now listen, this was unfair for Paul and Silas. That's going to happen. Their imprisonment was unfair. The darkness was unfair. The shackles were unfair. Everything that they went through was unfair. There is always that thought of unfair. I know the stuff that I've gone through in my life, I felt that it was unfair. I shouldn't have to go through this. As a Christian, I should not have to go through this struggle. I shouldn't have to go through this trying time. Selah and Lila are all about being fair and unfair. Sometimes you see Selah come in and say, Daddy, that's not fair. Oh, like when we tell Selah to clean the room because she's made a mess and Lila's already cleaned her side, Selah, Daddy, that is unfair. That's not fair. You know, that's just her thing. And see, but that's every kid, and we carry that in life. We always think this is unfair, this is unfair, this is unfair. And sometimes things are unfair, yeah. Things we go through, it's not fair, it's not right. It's not good that we go through it, and it's tough, and it's difficult. But see, God has provided a way out. God has provided a way out of our struggles, a way out of our tribulations and our trials. And there comes a point in our life where you have to say enough is enough, where you have to get fed up with everything around you. Enough of the devil taunting you, messing with you, coming in, destroying your family, destroying your friendships, destroying your life, lying to you. There comes a point where you have to say enough is enough, Satan. There's no more temptation in my life. I'm tired of that temptation. I'm tired of falling to that temptation. I'm tired of it. And you've got to just get fed up. Get fed up because you're tired of this prison that you're in. And there needs to be a desperation in you that gets you out of that prison. I watched a video one day about this kid and a burrito. And maybe I've told the story here. If you haven't heard the story, it's the best story in the world. And I tried to find it on YouTube. And I'm sure if I looked long enough, I would have found it. But this kid was getting bullied in school. And while he's getting bullied, you know, like, they videotaped him being bullied, you know, and they're like, oh, here comes a fat kid, blah, blah, blah. They talk about the fat. And he goes, they're like, hey, you want a burrito? Hey, you want a burrito? To this kid. And you would think this kid's like, I mean, he's just like, like that's really, and you feel bad for him. I'm like, man, this poor kid. So you're watching, and he's like, hey, you want a burrito? Hey, you want a burrito? And they come close to him, like real tough, and his friends are all laughing. And he's like, hey, you want a burrito? Bow, and hits him in the face with the burrito. No lie, little fat kid goes like this. He's like, bow, hits him and knocks him out. I'm like, that is awesome. Because he got to the point where he got fed up, man. He got absolutely fed up with the bullying and the trying and all that kind of stuff just popped him. Right. I mean, it was just like, it was unbelievable. He didn't say anything. He was like, boom, that was it, just done. Not like, I can't believe you hit me in the face with a burrito. Like, oh, man, that tasted kind of good, but I don't like getting hit in the face with a burrito. He didn't do what I would have done. I would have been like, hey, that's awesome. Thank you very much. No, it was nothing. He straight dropped his book bag. I mean, it was like slick. He was like, whoosh. It just came off of him perfectly. He was like, whoosh, boom, and hit him. And the kid got straight knocked out. He was like, ugh. I just out. I'm like, that is awesome. Not that I condone fighting. But if someone hits you in the face with a burrito, hit them. I will tell you that now. Do not turn the other cheek if you get hit in the face with a burrito. I think there's a scripture. There's a scripture somewhere in the Bible. Thou shalt turn your face unless you get hit with a burrito. Or any type of food, like a slice of pizza. Someone hits me with a vegetable. I don't even like vegetables, period. But you hit me with a vegetable, you're done. I'll kill you. Slice straight. Anyway, whatever. So, there comes a point where you have got to step up and you've got to get fed up. And tonight we're going to get fed up. Tonight, man, listen. Tonight, I want you to get fed up with Satan. I want you to get upset. I want you to get ticked. Today we're going to get angry, amen. We're going to get angry at the devil because I'm tired of what the devil's trying to do to young people in our country, in our county, here in Sarasota, in your schools. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of flipping on Instagram or Facebook and seeing some of the stuff that the devil is causing around that, the lies that the devil is whispering to young ladies and to young men. Tonight is a night where we get angry, amen. But we're going to teach you how to be desperate and be released from your struggles and your situations and your trials. Here we go. Number one, do not pity yourself. Sometimes we can go or we can be so distraught that we forget what God can do in our life. We focus on the wrong thing. We focus on our present defeat and not our future victory. We always focus on it. Oh, we hang our head. I love Rocky. Do you guys ever watch Rocky? I watched all the Rocky movies. I just love Rocky just because I'm from Philly and I just love Rocky because it's Rocky. I said Rocky a whole lot in that sentence, but whatever. But any movie, you think of any movie, man, all the movies you watch, there's always that guy, right? Especially if it's any kind of movie, really. Even if it's a chick flick, there's always a guy who's kind of down. You know what I'm saying? And he's there and he's like, oh, whatever. And Rocky's getting beat up in the ring or whatever it might be in the war, they're losing. But what happens? There's always a turning point, right? There's always that one point, that excited point, man. I hate that, like, the part where they're not winning. I hate it. I hate watching it. I'm like, even though I know they're going to win in the end, there's always this like, We watched that movie recently with the big Kevin James guy. What was that called? The interns all watched it together. Here Comes the Boom. And it was awesome. You guys, if you've never seen it, it's funny. It's awesome. It's hilarious. Anyway, but there's a point where you figure or you think that he's defeated and he wants to give up. But he realizes that there's something to fight for. And when he realizes there's something to fight for, there's something within him that rises up and he turns around, even though he was defeated a little bit, he didn't have pity on himself any longer, so he decided to fight back. He got fed up because there's something to fight for. You all have something to fight for. Do you know what you have to fight for? Your life, yourself. I want you to say that with me tonight. Say, I want to fight for myself. Come on, just say that. I want to fight for myself. You fight for yourself. That's what you have something to fight for. You need to understand that you can't hang your head in pity any longer. That's not who you're called to be as Christians. You don't put your head down. You don't walk around defeated. You walk around with your head high because you know that you're going to win the fight. You know that God has got the victory already. We sung it tonight. Hallelujah. You have won the victory because he died on the cross for you. You can't pity yourself anymore. That's not who you're called to be. Do not pity yourself. Don't hang your head in defeat. Keep your head up. The enemy wants that. He wants you to hang your head and be discouraged. Oh, my life is just so difficult. Oh, I'm going through this in my life. I'm going through this struggle in my life. My parents, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister. Hang your head and hang your head because of what you go through. You can't pity yourself. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you. God is with you. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. And I read the word, and I've read this a lot of times, and I read the word uphold today. Again, and I looked and I thought about it. And if you think about upholding somebody, if you think, when you uphold somebody, if you think about it in your head, when you're upholding somebody, it means somebody that might be falling backwards. Somebody that's falling and collapsing, and you uphold them. You make sure that they stand. See, you might be in that moment right now. You might be in the collapsing moment of your life. You might be wanting to give up because the pressure and the life that you have and the situation that you're in is way too heavy for your shoulders, and you feel like you're going to collapse. But God says, do not fear. Do not be discouraged, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you if you're falling. Tonight, God is upholding you. He's upholding you. I love the picture of it. He's not going to let you fall. I remember when a young person died, he got in my youth group in South Florida. He got hit by lightning walking off the football field. Just a young kid. His name was Schaffner Noel. And he was a freshman, and he was walking off the football field, and a lightning bolt hit him right in the heart. I remember seeing him in the hospital. His body, anyway. And his mom was screaming and crying, and it was just so heartbreaking. And I saw the hole in his chest, where his heart was. I'm sorry. I saw a big hole right here, just a burn mark and a hole. And it hit me. I remember that night, or a couple nights later, we had a memorial service for them, and the entire football team was there, and the whole. All the cheerleaders were there because one of the cheerleaders also, when it hit him, it kind of went out and hit some of the other people and hit some of the cheerleaders outside of where he was at. And the cheerleaders were there, and I remember Coach Jackson was up there, and he was crying, and then he said, you know, I kept praying. And he says, and I tell my teammates all the time that I'll catch them when they fall. I'll catch them when they fall. And then Coach Jackson began to cry, and he said, and I was praying, because he was a Christian. He goes, and I was praying, and I said, God, why couldn't I catch him? Why couldn't I catch him? And he said, God spoke to him very clearly and said, you didn't have to catch him, because I did. See, I want you to understand that. That word is for you, too. That word is for you. God is going to catch you. He catches you if you're falling under the pressures of your life, under the situations in your home. You think what you're going through in your house is a secret to God? It's not. He knows the struggles that you go through. He knows how the enemy, how the devil is lying, and how the devil is trying to break up your family. He knows it. He knows how the devil's trying to lie to you and tell you that this person won't get saved, or this person won't get healed, or this person won't. He will lie to you. When my mom was passing away, I thought the same thing. It was a lie. You know what, God, you're not healing my mom. You're not healing her. Oh, but she got the best healing she possibly could have. when she walked into the gates of heaven, it's the best feeling that she could possibly have. Better than even getting healed here on earth, because there would still be pressures. There would still be sickness. There'd still be disease and pain and suffering. But she walked into the gates of heaven and got the best healing that she could have. See, God will catch you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be discouraged. He's going to strengthen you. He's with you. He'll help you. He'll uphold you. The next thing is this. You don't want to have pity on yourself, and you don't want to give up. Don't give up. But at midnight, man, I even put a Facebook status out, something that somebody couldn't get mad at me for. Because for some reason, every time I put a comment up, I get 90,000 comments under it. I get whatever I say, like the sky is blue. How dare you say the sky is blue, Pastor Casey? It is bluish. But I was so excited when I read these three words, but at midnight. Man, that's a key point right there. It wasn't in there for nothing. It wasn't in there for just to be put in there. It was in there for purpose. But at midnight. See, there are some of you right now in your life, it's 11:59. It's 11:59 and you want to give up. You want to quit. You want to quit Christianity. You want to quit your family. You want to quit your life. You just want to be done. I'm tired. I'm finished. I'm done. But can I tell you that midnight is coming? Midnight is coming. And it's funny because I'm reading that. And as I'm reading that, God's speaking to me. And he's speaking. It was awesome today. I had an awesome Jesus time in my little office today. It was incredible. And every time I was reading that that word midnight, there's something that God, it was like I was distracting myself and just from worshiping. And so I turned the volume down and I said, okay, God, just speak to me. Just speak to me. And I stood quiet, and Lamentations 3:22 came to my head. It says this: through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new. His mercies are new every morning. What is midnight? What is midnight? Midnight is morning. Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, you might be at 11:59 at night. You might be right there and you want to quit. But God is saying, my mercy is new in the morning. Just wait one more minute. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be done with this Christianity thing, because I am right there. My mercies are new every morning. Morning is coming. It's not darkness where there's midnight. It's morning. Come on, somebody. It's morning. You have to be desperate for freedom. Don't give up. Midnight is coming. Our family tradition, since I married into this family, the Santana home, we never did this before, but we do it now. On Christmas Eve is when we open gifts at midnight. And it's funny to watch the kids. And I remember actually, that's when I proposed to Lenore, was at midnight on Christmas Eve. And it's just like, the wait for midnight is unbelievable, because you know at midnight there's a gift. You know that at midnight. And I remember when I went to propose to Lenore, I had to sit through a movie. Because every year, they watch, what is it? It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, it is long. It is unbelievably long, especially when you're unbelievably nervous because you're about to propose. And her father knew, and I know in my heart he got a kick out of it. So I'm sitting down like this. And I'm not even watching the movie, and her father's like, "Do you see that?" "No, not really. Not at all. I can't even think right now." And it was just so long and so drawn out. I'm like, "God, why did you make this movie?" So like, as I knew, it was incredible, and I just knew at midnight something amazing was going to happen. Something that would change my life forever. The best gift I could possibly get. Now I want you to know this. Today, tonight, you've got to be anticipating midnight. Don't quit right there at the end. you have to have a huge anticipation tonight for midnight. People are watching you. Listen to that one part in that scripture. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. The prisoners were listening and watching. We're listening and watching. Midnight. A lot of times we do, even New Year's, what do we wait for right before New Year's? Right before that, we count it down, don't we? We're watching the TV. It's incredible. There's parties, all these different things. People are like, going crazy, nuts, you know, whatever. And then when the countdown happens, everybody's like, yes, can you believe this? All right, you know what I'm saying? People are like, so everybody's watching and waiting, and it comes at like 10, 9, 8. And it's like, screaming, you know what I'm saying? Nuts. Wouldn't this be the most anticlimactic, worst moment of your life if they were like 10, 9, 8, parties, like whistling, all that. Yes! A drunk guy's across the screen. Ah, whatever. It's awesome. 7, 6, 5. Yes! And you're calling around people. Yes! 3, 2. Click off. All the power goes off. I would be the like, you'd be like, what the? It'd be hard. It'd be like the worst. But see, some of you, that's where you're at right now. You're about to give up right before the party starts. You're about to give up right before God's about to do something big in your life. You're about to cut the power off right before God is about to change your life. And people are watching you. Listen to me. People are watching you. There are people that are watching you when you're around your school who know what you're going through. They know that your mom or dad are sick. They know that your mom or dad are getting a divorce. They know that there was a death in your family. They know it, and they're waiting for you to give up and quit and just be done. They're waiting and they're watching. But see, that midnight hour, man, they were beaten. They were discouraged. They were hurting. Don't you think the prisoners, as Paul and Silas were in the middle of this dungeon, this dark, filthy, nasty dungeon, they were being dragged by the guards past all the other prisoners. And they watched them and they saw them bleeding. They saw them in pain. No doubt they were hurt. No doubt they were screaming as they were being dragged through the halls of that prison. And people saw them in their pain. But what did they also see? And they also heard. They heard in the middle of their struggle and their middle of their trial, they were worshiping and they were seeking God and they were loving God. And it said at midnight, see, when you worship, when you praise, when you give God glory through your struggles and through your difficult times and your trials and tribulations, when you worship Him in your hell, I promise you, midnight is coming. I promise you, midnight is coming. And then it said this, suddenly, at midnight, suddenly, some of you need a suddenly in your life. You need that in your life tonight. Suddenly in your house. Suddenly in your family. Suddenly in your parents' marriage. Suddenly in your mom or your dad's body because they're sick. Suddenly. You need a suddenly moment in your life, and tonight may be your midnight hour. Tonight, there might be a suddenly happen at these altars because you're going to worship through your trials. You're going to worship here at these altars and give God glory, whether there's music or not. You're going to worship through your prayers. You're going to worship as a leader prays for you. You are going to worship, and there's going to be a suddenly moment in your life. And the last thing you don't want to, don't let the devil off. I love it. I love Paul when he said this. When they came and they said, listen, the magistrates let you go. See, they could have easily walked out of the prison. They could have, I probably would, I'm like, thank you, peace, I'm out. But no, Paul was like, what? No! They beat us. They spit on us. They treated us horribly and we did nothing wrong. If they want to let us go, let them cowards come in front of me and then tell me I can go. I love it. Some of you have got to get fed up at Satan and just be upset. See, some of us, when we go through our trial, we're like, oh, praise God. I don't know why I did that walk, but whatever. We do. We're like, oh, awesome. Great. Oh, yes. I mean, some of you got to get ticked off. No. Wait a second, Satan. No. You sat there and you tried to take my joy. You sat there and you tried to destroy my parents. You sat there and you stole my mom. You took her. You sat there and you just get angry. You get mad at the devil for trying to steal your joy. He isn't allowed to do that. He isn't allowed to do that. You get fed up tonight. You face the devil. And you let him know, man, get tired of what the enemy throws at you. Don't just walk away. Don't just walk away. But you stand on God's word. And you get in the devil's face. You get in his face. And you fight back. You fight back. I would hate it if my kids got bullied at school and they didn't fight back. I'll be real. If they hit my child, I will teach them how to hit back. Don't tell your parents. I don't like it. They won't get bullied. Some of you have been bullied long enough by the devil. He brings you down all the time with girls. He brings you all the time down all the time with guys. He brings you all down all the time with the situation that you're going through in your house. He brings you down with drugs and alcohol. He brings you down with the situation in your school. He brings you down and brings you down and brings you down and tries to steal your joy. Tonight, you need to get fed up. Get fed up. Your midnight hour is coming. It's 11:59. Your midnight hour is coming. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I know there's some of you, it's 11:59, and you're done. You want to give up. You want to quit. You want to finish. Listen, that's it. You want to be done. You need to get fed up tonight. You need to get fed up. Your joy's been taken from you because someone in your life, someone close to you, has passed away, and that's eaten up and eaten and eaten at you. And you're angry at God. You're angry. Maybe it's an illness or a disease that's happening in your friends or in your family. Maybe it's divorce that has come between your parents. Maybe it's a financial situation in your house and it just, and you know it. You know what's going on with your parents. What is it tonight? What is it that the devil's tried to bully you with? Don't pity yourself. God's there to uphold you. Don't give up. It's 11:59, midnight, but at midnight, but at midnight. And don't let the devil off. Don't let the devil off. You fight back. You fight back by being stronger than ever in your Christianity. You fight back by worshiping harder than you've ever worshiped. You fight back by praying harder than you've ever prayed. You fight back by getting into the Word of God, not just to read it, but to know your Savior. You fight back. Tonight we're going to have altar time. And I want you to fight. I don't want you to give up. It's 11:59. If you say, Pastor Casey, I need prayer. because it's 11:59 and I need that midnight hour to come because of what's going on in your house, in your life, and maybe you want to give up. If that's you on three, I just want you to look right at me the way we do it every week. Just look right at me. One, Pastor Casey, I'm not going to pity myself anymore. I'm not going to pity my situation anymore. Yeah, I'm going through hell in my life, but I know that I've won it in the end because of what Jesus did. I'm not going to pity myself. I'm not going to be discouraged or dismayed because Jesus is with me. Jesus is going to strengthen me. Jesus will help me. Jesus will uphold me. Jesus, I will not pity my situation and my life anymore. You're not going to give up. You're not going to give up. You're done. You're not going to give up tonight. It's 11:59. And you're going to get ready to face the devil. And you're going to be stronger, better than you've ever been. Because you know that his mercy's coming. That morning's coming. If that's you, I want you to look at me on three. One, two, three. Look at me all across this place. Amen. 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 All of you looking at me, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. I'm going to ask the leaders to make their way forward. And listen. Get fed up tonight. Get angry tonight. The leaders are going to pray for you, but I want you to pray with them. I want you to cry out to God with them. As a matter of fact, when the leaders are praying for you, what I want you to do tonight, I want you to lift your hands in the air as the leaders pray for you because you're going to be worshiping. You're going to be worshiping through your prison. Because suddenly, the foundations of your life are going to be shaken. The walls that the devil is trying to put around you are going to be broken down. Suddenly tonight, midnight is coming. Midnight is coming. Those of you standing on your feet, I'm going to ask you to make your way forward and come to one of these leaders. And when you stand in front of them, I just want you to lift your hands in worship. I want you to lift your hands in worship and let God move in your life. Let God bless you. Let God touch you. Come on, all across this place. Let's go. If you're in your seats and one of your friends are up here, I just want you to just lift your hands. Just lift your hands and stretch your hands out towards them or come up behind them and pray with them. They need accountability. They need help. If one of your friends or somebody you know is up here, come on up here and just place your hands on their shoulders. Hallelujah, Father, in Jesus' name. God, right now I pray for every one of these young people at this altar, Jesus. You see their struggles, God. You know their hurts and their pains, Jesus. You know that it is 11:59 in their life. But God, we are waiting for that midnight hour, Jesus. We are waiting for the suddenly to happen in their life. Suddenly, would you restore marriages, God? Restore their family. Suddenly, would you heal their bodies? Suddenly, would you heal their life? Suddenly, would you bless them? Would you anoint them? Suddenly, my God, move! Come on, there's breakthrough. There is breakthrough in lives tonight. There's breakthrough in lives tonight.
My heart, awake my soul.